Welcome in to Fireside Sports. This is your host for the night, Garrett Thornton. Casey Mavitt's off for the week, so I'm holding down the fort, riding solo. Excuse me if I get off on a tangent every once in a while, but there's no one to control me, and I absolutely love it. So here we go. We got a lot of Blazers to talk. We're going to talk NFL, Ezekiel Elliott, fantasy football talk. Casey likes to keep the show to a half hour. I'm going to do my best to do that, but no promises. So to start, I just want to admire that song, Can I Get a Headband, from the 1999-2000 Blazers. Bonzi Wells, Damon Stoudemire, Brian Grant. I love that group. I was cleaning out my man cave the other day. I was going through old memorabilia. I came across a CD that said, Can I Get a Headband? I was so excited to throw it in. Listen to that song. It took me way back to the day. I know that's just 16, 17 years ago, but it feels like forever ago. I was 12 years old. I love that song. I probably listened to it 100 times in a row. I knew every single word. I was on top of the world when that song was out. I wore a headband to every basketball practice, to every game. I probably wore a headband watching the Blazers on TV. I love that song, and listening to that song tonight just took me way back. I loved it. The excitement that was around that type, that era of Blazers, I feel like is back with Damian Stoudemire and CJ McCollum. Fans love them. The city loves them. They're so, that Nurkic fever march of last year was so exciting to be a Blazer fan. It was so exciting covering the team. It just showed how much potential this team could have moving forward with this nucleus. And a lot of the talk lately has been about a trade rumor that just will not die. And that's a good thing. Let me tell you why that's a good thing, Portland Trail Blazer fans. We have heard so much about Carmelo Anthony the last month plus. Carmelo Anthony's thinking about the Blazers, or maybe he'll come to the Blazers, or CJ and Dame are recruiting. This is a good thing. Carmelo Anthony is a 10-time All-Star that can score from anywhere on the court. I have made my feelings clear from the beginning. I've written about it. I've talked about it with Casey. I was on KGW talking about it. I have put my hat in the ring. I think Carmelo Anthony would be a tremendous fit alongside Damian Lillard, alongside CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic. That core would be so scary, and that is what this team needs to compete in this ultra-competitive Western Conference. And so every day that Carmelo Anthony is not a Houston Rocket is a good day for the Portland Trail Blazers. At this point, can you really see Carmelo Anthony going to play for the New York Knicks? I think that there's no way that's going to happen. That relationship is fractured to the point that he is not going to training camp and working for this team that doesn't want him anymore. And the Knicks, on their side of things, they don't want to lose Carmelo for nothing next summer. He's leaving. There's no doubt about it. Carmelo Anthony is not going to retire as a New York Knick. He's leaving next summer, whether the Knicks like it or not. And so they're trying to get something for him now. A deal hasn't materialized between New York and Houston. It just hasn't happened. And so Portland, as a suitor that has been out there, they are doing what they can to get him to waive that trade, no trade clause. You saw the video last week of CJ playing pickup ball with Carmelo in his hoodie, which I don't understand at all, but he's doing it. CJ was playing with him. Damian's been out publicly recruiting him in the media. It's great. And the one thing, those things are great, all well and good, but does that get to Carmelo? What keeps any hope alive for Blazer fans is that Adrian Wojnarowski won't let it die either. Wojnarowski, now of ESPN, used to be Yahoo The Vertical, but now with ESPN, an insider, he's the most trusted reporter around the NBA. There's little denying that fact. And every article Adrian Wojnarowski's written the last couple weeks about the Carmelo Anthony situation, he's mentioned Portland as a possibility. And the last one, he said that Portland had piqued Carmelo's interest. They had piqued his interest. Now, there's been reports that Carmelo doesn't want to go so far away from his 10-year-old son. There have been reports that Carmelo doesn't want to come to the West Coast, that he only wants to play with James Harden and Chris Paul. But when push comes to shove, when September comes around, when training camps are starting, Do you think Carmelo wants to go to New York, go to the training facility, put on his Knicks jersey, and deal with whatever's going to happen there? They're not building around Carmelo. They're building around Kristaps Porzingis. Does he really want to play with a team whose next highest paid player other than Carmelo is Tim Hardaway Jr.? I don't see it happening. I think Carmelo's leaving. I think he's going to waive his no-trade clause for somebody, and I don't know that it's going to be Houston. Houston just threw everything they had at the Los Angeles Clippers trying to get Chris Paul. They threw every asset they had. At this point, we're talking Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza, and the Knicks don't want Ryan Anderson. Nobody does. He gets paid $20 million to shoot threes and not play defense. Carmelo shoots threes and doesn't play defense, and he's a much better player than Ryan Anderson. Why would they make that trade? And so when you look at the Portland Trailblazers and what they have to offer, I look at a package surrounding Maurice Harkless, Ed Davis, Myers Leonard, and a first-round pick. The salaries match. The first-round pick's a sweetener. I think that they build around Maurice Harkless as a small forward in that system. I think that would be a great addition. Ed Davis is on an expiring contract. Myers Leonard shoots threes for half the price that Ryan Anderson does. And so I think New York could take that deal and sell that to their fans that they're building for the future. Meanwhile, if Carmelo comes to Portland, oh boy, watch out. That is going to be a fun group to watch play basketball. And in the Western Conference, you're going to be fun, you're going to be competitive, or you're going to be terrible. And so the Blazers need to do anything they can to make this deal happen. Now, I'm not saying that they need to go out and they need to bribe Carmelo or do anything illegal, but things are looking up for the Portland Trailblazers at this point. Carmelo Anthony is not a Houston Rocket. He's not a Cleveland Cavalier. Right now he's a New York Knick, and not a happy New York Knick. And so if you could bring him to Portland on a one-year deal, I think that would be a phenomenal move for the Blazers, a phenomenal move for Carmelo. And let me tell you why I think it would be great for Carmelo. I think Carmelo Anthony is the most neglected and under-marketed superstar in the entire league. When's the last commercial you can remember with Carmelo? I don't think the Knicks in that huge city have marketed Carmelo the way that they should. Now, the last year, they've started to turn their attention to Kristaps Porzingis. It's kind of the situation that happened in Portland when the Blazers started marketing Damian Lillard more than LaMarcus Aldridge. Feelings were hurt, LaMarcus left. Okay? I think you're seeing a similar situation in New York, where if Carmelo comes here to Portland, Nike's in his backyard. I think the sky's the limit for Carmelo. I think it could be a rejuvenation of his career, and I think that it could be a great thing for him, for the Blazers, for the city of Portland. It would be an incredible team to watch, most likely the most fun Blazer team to watch that's ever stepped foot on the court in Rip City. And that's not hyperbole. I'm being serious. This would be a dynamic offensive team. They would average 115 points a game. They would be incredible on the court. Enough of that. You can go read any article you want on the Carmelo trade. Nothing's going to happen until Carmelo says so. And so that's the thing, is Carmelo holds all the chips in this trade. He can say, okay, send me to Portland. He can say, okay, I'll open it up to anybody, take offers from any other team. Or he can say, hey, I'm going to Houston. He could force the Knicks' hand to take a lesser deal, or he'll just say, I'll play for you next year and then walk. And so it's tough as a fan. You want it to happen, but there's no – Carmelo has all the leverage, so we just got to wait and see if Wojnarowski's right and the Blazers have piqued his interest. That's good news. CJ and Damian aren't relenting. They're still out in the media. They're still talking about it, and so good things could happen on that front. The other piece of Blazer news that came out this week is the schedule was released in the NBA. I am one of the biggest downers when it comes to the schedule being released in the NBA. NBA fans circle this date on their calendar, but there's really not a date because it comes out a different day every year. NBA fans this time of year are always on Twitter asking reporters, when does the schedule come out? We need to see the schedule. Well, the schedule came out this week. The schedule, let me break it down in a nutshell. The Blazers play 82 games, 41 on the road, 41 at home, just like every other team in the league. And so you see all of these asinine breakdowns of the schedule all over of who plays the toughest schedule, who does. This league is largely determined on breakouts and injuries. And so if a team meshes together and plays well, they can win 50, 55 games, even if they were predicted to do 30, win 30. So sitting here in August and say X team has the toughest schedule in the league and X team has the easiest schedule, that's ridiculous to say. The Eastern Conference is weak. The Western Conference is strong. The Blazers have a tough schedule because they have to play so many Western Conference teams. But because fans like it, because fans like the schedule and looking at it, let me go through the schedule. I'll go over a couple of the matchups that I really look forward to. Home opener is October 24th here in Portland. It's the fourth game of the season. They start three on the road, two against Eastern Conference teams, one against the Suns. Honestly, the Blazers could start 3-0 on the road coming home to play New Orleans, which would be a great start to the season. This season needs to start on a better foot than it did last year. Last year's tough start is really what doomed the Blazers and really put them in a position where they had to have a competitive March or else they were not going to make the playoffs. So Phoenix, Indiana, Milwaukee on the road to start the season, then New Orleans here. Skipping forward, Friday, November 10th, Brooklyn Nets and our buddy Allen Crabber here. November 5th, Oklahoma City's here with Russell Westbrook, Paul George. November 2nd, Los Angeles Lakers and Lonzo Ball. Maybe LeVar Ball will be here. We can go heckle him a little bit in the Rose Garden, Moda Center. Sorry about that. Houston's here December 9th with Chris Paul and James Harden. No one really knows how that's going to work out, but it'll be interesting to see. San Antonio and our old buddy LaMarcus Aldridge is here December 20th. Denver and Mason Plumlee will be here December 22nd. Looking a little bit forward, you've got couple matchups with Minnesota at home, which will be fun with that talented team. The two matchups are January 24th and March 1st. Karl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, Jeff Teague, Taj Gibson, Andrew Wiggins. That team is loaded. That's going to be a fun team to watch play basketball this year. As you go down the schedule, at the end of the season is really tough, and a lot's been made about it. I won't have to go on about it too long, but the last game the Blazers play against the Eastern Conference is the Boston Celtics on March 23rd. That team won the Eastern Conference last year. You got to remember, they were the number one seed going into the playoffs. Then the Blazers end with 10 games against Western Conference rivals and 10 games against teams that could be battling for playoff position. It goes Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Memphis, the Clippers, Memphis, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Denver, Utah. It's a brutal stretch of schedule, and so that's why I say the beginning of the season is really, really crucial in my mind. They have to get out to a fast start. This team has to play well together coming out of the gate, and I think that things will go well for this team if they can jump out to a maybe a 15-9, 15-10 type record instead of jumping out with a losing record through the first month of the season. Obviously, that should go without saying, but here in Portland, they've struggled to get out to fast starts, especially this last season. And so with the healthy team going into the beginning of the season, a training camp with Jusuf Nurkić, I think that this team could get out to a good start, build some momentum, and go from there. Now, that's not accounting for any other moves. We don't know what this team's going to do. No one really saw the Allen Crabb trade coming, and so hold on tight. Who knows what Neil Shea's got in store for the next month plus before the training camp and season starts. But whatever it is, we're going to be here and we're going to cover every moment of it at Oregon Sports News. On that note, before we transition to fantasy football, Ezekiel Elliott, so just the NFL madness in general that we're about to head into here in the middle of August, I just wanted to give a shout out to Oregon Sports News. Aaron is so great running the site, gives us a platform to independently write about whatever we want. I've never been approached and said, hey, Garrett, will you write about this? Not once. 5 years at the website. We go to OregonSportsNews.com. We cover the Blazers, the Timbers, the Ducks, the Beavers, MMA, boxing. You name the sport in the Northwest, we cover it. We cover hikes to go on, fitness tips, anything that you can think of, we cover. And if we don't, hit us up on Twitter. Tell us you want to hear about something else. Tell us you want us to cover an event. We'll do our best to do that. We follow us on Facebook, Oregon Sports News. Follow us on Twitter, Oregon Sport News. It's a great website, great way to get your news. And I'd like to tell you about one of our partner podcasts that's also on OregonSportsNews.com, Your Favorite Fight. Your Favorite Fight is a biweekly combat sports podcast hosted by Oregon Sports News senior MMA writer David Golden. Your Favorite Fight asks the question, what's your favorite fight? David talks to professional fighters, coaches, jiu-jitsu players, and just about anyone else in the fight game to find out what their favorite fight is. If you're a fight nerd, MMA lover, or just love to support local athletes, this podcast is for you. Download Your Favorite Fight on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And while we're on that note, this is a great podcast. Casey does a ton of work on this podcast, Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. Go like this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, it's all over. Find it on the website, OregonSportsNews.com. Review us, give us a like. Or Casey works so hard on it, I just come and screw off, give my opinion every once in a while, piss a couple people off every once in a while just for the fun of it. And so, Fireside Sports, follow Casey on Twitter, FiresideOSN. He's a great follow. It's a great podcast to check out every single week. Casey is very opinionated, knows way more than a normal sports fan should know. And so let him educate you on Northwest sports, on the NFL. He's a huge Green Bay Packer fan, so you've been fairly warned. All right, so let's move on to the NFL, Ezekiel Elliott, fantasy football. It's that time of year again. Fantasy football drafts are going like crazy. ESPN just did their fantasy football marathon, 28 straight hours of fantasy football coverage. I caught about 4 hours of it out of 28, just off and on, just watching little bits and pieces. I'm always trying to get the edge in fantasy drafts. I had my first fantasy draft last Sunday. It was a great time. It's a league that I've been in for 6 or 7 years. It's a bunch of kids that I coached in high school football. It's an 8-team league, so all of our teams are super stacked. I am not one of those fantasy football purists that says it has to be a 12-team league or it's worthless. I think play fantasy football for fun, and so make it however many teams you want to make it. If you've only got 4 friends, play a 4-team league for all I care. But that 8-team league is an incredible, it's a fun time. It's a two-keeper league, and my two keepers are Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown. So I start off the season with the best receivers in the league. But we're going to get to fantasy football here in a minute. I wanted to touch on Ezekiel Elliott. I haven't been shy about the fact that I am a Dallas Cowboy fan. I've always been. Read any of my columns during the football season when I write Breaking Vegas. Check out any of my picks, my opinions on this podcast with Casey. I talk about the Cowboys. I love the Cowboys. I've been a Cowboy fan since the day I was born. It's something that's in me. You can't change me. I don't care. Seahawks fans, it's never going to happen. And so the Ezekiel Elliott news hits a little harder home for me than it does most NFL fans, but it's something that people should be worried about around the NFL. The NFL has given, or the Players Association in the collective bargaining agreements, they have given Roger Goodell the power to be judge, jury, and executioner. No one can question him. The appeals process is basically just a formality. It's not heard by him, but the people that are hearing it answer to him. And so there's no continuity in the assessment of suspensions, penalties, fines, whatever. It's whatever he feels like that day and whatever point he wants to make. Coming into this, I thought Ezekiel Elliott would get 4 games and they'd go their merry way. 4 games has been a baseline for the NFL. That's what you get the first time you break the drug policy. That's what Tom Brady got for destroying evidence in Deflategate. 4 games is what I thought that Ezekiel Elliott was going to get, but he got 6 games. And I understand the domestic violence policy that the league has, that it's a 6-game penalty, and I understand that fact, and I think that it's valid. But then you look around the league, and you look at Joe Mixon. I realize that he was in college, Joe Mixon will start week one for the Bengals at running back. You look at the Arizona Cardinals, John Brown. He got one game, not six, for domestic violence. You look at the Seahawks, Tremaine Brock. He's facing a domestic violence type situation. There hasn't been an NFL investigation, and there hasn't been a suspension. But Ezekiel Elliott, one of the young superstars in the NFL, playing for the most popular franchise in all of sports, and he gets six games. And heading into the appeal, I don't think that it's going to stay six games. I wouldn't be shocked if it ended up being a 3 or 4 game suspension, but I just find it curious that slap on the wrist here, slap on the wrist here, we'll look the other way over here, but on this one that the courts threw out, that the police couldn't find enough evidence for, somehow we're going to find enough evidence to give you a 6-game suspension. It's proving a point. It's grandstanding. It's Roger Goodell saying, I have the power. You do not. Don't question me. I get paid $30+ million a year to do this job. But I think it's also dangerous for Roger Goodell. He pissed off Robert Kraft with the Tom Brady thing. He's now pissing off Jerry Jones with the Ezekiel Elliott thing. At what point do these owners say enough is enough? We're going to find ourselves a new boss. Now, there's been reports that the owners are happy with the Ezekiel Elliott punishment, and I don't understand that at all. These owners want their best players on the field at all times. And so if one of their players gets in a he said, she said situation similar to Ezekiel Elliott, they don't want that guy off the field for 6 games. They want him on the field week one, winning games for their team. And so the owners can't be happy with the total domination of the system that Roger Goodell owns right now. And so don't be surprised if you hear some murmurs, if you see some things changing within the league. I'm not saying Roger Goodell is going to get thrown out. That would be a lengthy, nasty process that's years in the making. But there's already talk and reports today, Thursday, August 17th, that 2021, the players are going to strike, that there's going to be a lockout, and that things are going to change. The owners don't want that. There's too much money to be made in an NFL season to miss a single game. So things are going to change before then. You're going to see things changing. It's going to start in the form of whispers. It's going to start with what ifs. But then you're going to see things changing gradually in the NFL offices, in the ownership of these teams. It's going to happen. Now, back to Ezekiel Elliott. I am not condoning a single thing about this situation. Domestic violence is obviously an ugly and nasty thing. And if what she is saying is true, then yes, Ezekiel Elliott deserves a 6-game suspension, and he deserved legal punishment, which didn't happen. But it just, unless the NFL has more than they're sharing, it's a lot of he said, she said, and there's a lot of fuzzy facts. This is not the most trustworthy source after some of the things have come out that she told her friends about blackmailing him with sex tapes, and it's just madness. It's reality TV. That's what the NFL has turned into. For 9 months out of the year, the other 3 months we get to watch football, but the rest of the time it's reality TV. It's national anthem protests. It's why isn't Colin Kaepernick in the league? It's Ezekiel Elliott suspension. Let's get back to football. Let's play football. Let's watch the sport that we love, and everything will be all right. Week one's coming up. It's 3 weeks away. 3 weeks from tonight, I believe, is the kickoff. And so we're getting closer to when we can forget about all the politics, forget about all the drama, and just watch football. Root for your team. Root for your division. Whoever you're rooting for that day. Root for your fantasy football team. And I can't wait. I know that you can't wait. And so let's just hold on a little bit longer together, and we're almost there. So now I wanted to transition into fantasy football. I wanted to do a mock draft and kind of go through my reasoning for each pick. I'm gonna do it on fantasypros.com. It's a great website that puts all the rankings together from all the other websites and kind of gives you a comprehensive view of everybody's rankings, kind of averages them out, and some people are way different on other people, and this kind of averages it all out and makes it easier to understand. They've got a great draft simulator on there. It's a mock draft versus the expert rankings, pretty much. And so you're not in a Yahoo mock draft or ESPN mock draft where you're there with 11 other random people that take the full 30 seconds for their pick. On Fantasy Pros, you make a pick, it goes through all the other picks, and your next pick's up. You see who was drafted in between, and you have to make the decisions. And so it's much quicker. I'm hoping to go through this draft in about 10 minutes, 10 or 12 minutes, and get out of here for the night for Fireside Sports. So it's a 12-team league, two receivers, two running backs with a flex, standard scoring across the board, not PPR. And so I did randomize on my draft pick, and I ended up with the 11th pick. And so that's the pick that we're going into the draft with. The first 10 picks went by. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, LeSean McCoy, Melvin Gordon, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Devontae Freeman, DeMarco Murray were the first 10 picks. So I look at the best running backs available right now. Jay Ajayi, Jordan Howard, Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette. I don't like Ajayi. I don't trust that he's going to stay on the field. And last year, he was very good for a couple games, and he was really mediocre for the rest of the season. Jordan Howard is on a bad offense, but he's a phenomenal running back. I like Howard. I think Gurley's in for a bounce-back season, and I really like Leonard Fournette. Last year, you saw what happened with the number 4 pick in the draft. I think a similar thing can happen with Leonard Fournette. But I really like those running backs, and there's only two picks in between picks here for us. We pick 11th and then 11th and 14th. Yeah, sorry. And so I'm waiting on running back, and I'm gonna get one of these marquee receivers: AJ Green, Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas, or Dez Bryant. AJ Green, Jordy Nelson. They're both towards the latter end of their career. AJ Green's still young. He's got a lot of time left, but they both have dealt with major injuries, and that scares me a little bit. I really like Michael Thomas. That offense is going to throw the ball around quite a bit with Drew Brees at quarterback. Brandon Cooks isn't around. I'm going to go with Michael Thomas here, pick 11. I could see going with AJ Green or Jordy Nelson. I just really like Michael Thomas. I think he's in for a top 5 receiver type season. And so that would make sense, me drafting him the 5th receiver off the board here in the first round. And so I took Michael Thomas, and then AJ Green and Jordy Nelson went boom, boom afterwards. And so I'm happy that I ended up with a marquee wide receiver. And so I can go back to running back, and I have my pick of Jay Ajayi, Jordan Howard, Todd Gurley, or Leonard Fournette. I'm going to go with Howard here. I just think that his touches, he's going to get a ton of touches in that offense. They're going to look for ways to get him the ball, and he's really going to be the workhorse of that offense. I think he's going to stay healthy. He's young. The only downside would be just if that offense is so bad that he's not getting touches in the red zone just because they can't get there. But I'm going to go Jordan Howard here. Jordan Howard and Michael Thomas are my first two picks. Those are two guys, two second-year players. I'm really excited to start my team with those guys. So we come around here to the turn. Pick number 35. Best running backs available: Isaiah Crowell, Ty Montgomery, Dalvin Cook, and Christian McCaffrey. Two rookies and a couple vets. Then on the receiver side of things, Demaryius Thomas, Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, and Michael Crabtree. I really like those receivers. I'm going to grab one of those running backs here with my third pick. I really like Ty Montgomery. I think he's going to have a big season. There's a lot of reports about him being bigger and stronger, better in pass protection. We obviously know he can catch passes out of the backfield. He's a wide receiver turned running back. He's going to get a bulk of the carries there. Jamal Williams might eat into his carries later in the season, but for the first 8 weeks, I would expect it to be the Ty Montgomery show. And so I'm going to go Montgomery here with pick 35. The next two picks, Isaiah Crowell and Demaryius Thomas, went off the board. I really like Thomas. That was going to be my next pick at wide receiver. So the best receivers on the board are Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, Michael Crabtree, and Sammy Watkins. I'm not in love with any of those receivers, to be completely honest. Allen Robinson has a terrible quarterback. Sammy Watkins has a terrible quarterback. I'm going to go back to the running backs. I'm going to fill our flex with a running back here. Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Spencer Ware, and C.J. Anderson are the next running backs on the board. I'm going to go with Dalvin Cook. I love Dalvin Cook, his versatility, what he can do on the field as a rookie. He's going to win that job. Latavius Murray's beat up. I think Dalvin Cook is in for a monster rookie season, and maybe even a better rookie season than what we see Leonard Fournette have. So we're back, pick number 59. There's five quarterbacks off the board, four tight ends off the board. I need another receiver. Michael Thomas is our only receiver. The next receivers on the board, Michael Crabtree, Golden Tate, Emmanuel Sanders, and Jarvis Landry. These receivers are really close in my opinion. I'm between Michael Crabtree and Jarvis Landry. I think Crabtree is a phenomenal wide receiver, but I think Amari Cooper is going to start eating into some of those red zone targets that Michael Crabtree's been getting the last couple years. I'm going to go with Jarvis Landry. I know that in Miami he's got Jay Cutler as his quarterback. That's not a 100% ideal situation, but I just think that Jarvis Landry is going to be a target monster this year. He's going to catch a ton of balls, and I think that he's going to be a top 15, 18 wide receiver in the league. So the next two picks were Russell Wilson and Mike Gillisley. Let's go to running backs and see what the situation is there. I don't love any of those running backs that are available. Let's look at quarterback. I'm not going to go quarterback this early. There's going to be plenty of quarterbacks available late, but Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton. I like all of those guys. I could start the season with any of those guys as my quarterback. I'll come back to quarterback. Michael Crabtree still available. I'm going to draft Michael Crabtree, put him on my bench. I can live with that with a 62nd pick. So as we sit right now, as the picks go through, I've got three wide receivers, Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Michael Crabtree. I've got three running backs, Jordan Howard, Ty Montgomery, Dalvin Cook. I love this team so far. So now we're at pick 83. Let's look at the quarterback situation. A lot went off the board in those last few picks. Ben Roethlisberger, Dak Prescott, Phillip Rivers, and Matthew Stafford are the next available. As a Cowboy fan, I'm going to have to go Dak Prescott. I love Dak Prescott. I think he's a very versatile quarterback. He's going to have to throw the ball if Ezekiel Elliott's not around. And so I think that he's in for a big season. I'm not in a hurry to draft a tight end. I think the tight end position is really weak, especially once you get past the Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce, Jordan Reed tier. So I'm going to come back to that later. As we sit right now, the best tight ends available are Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle, Kobe Fleener, Jason Witten. I'm not in love with any of those guys. Out of those four, I'd take Jack Doyle because I think he has the best quarterback in Andrew Luck, especially if he's healthy. And so with this 86th pick, I'm going to look at running backs again, and I love Paul Perkins. He's the starting running back in New York, a team that's going to have to run the ball to mix it up. They don't have a great line, but Paul Perkins showed flashes of being able to do some really special things. And so Paul Perkins will be my pick here in the eighth round. So going through the picks, my next pick is 107 in the ninth round. I'm not really set on any position. I want to look and see who's here. So Jonathan Stewart, Darren McFadden, Duke Johnson, Samaje Perine are the best running backs. I don't love any of them. And then go to receiver, Eric Decker, Kenny Britt, John Brown, Jordan Matthews. Let's look at tight ends. Hopefully Jack Doyle is still available. He is. I'm going to draft Jack Doyle. Our offensive starting lineup is filled out, and then I've got a couple guys on my bench, so it's time to fill out the bench. Defense and kicker, please do not draft defense and kicker until the last two rounds. If so, you're wasting a pick. I cringe whenever people do that, and so just please draft defense and kicker the last two picks of the draft. I really like Eric Decker. He's available as a wide receiver. He's going to get a ton of looks in Tennessee. Corey Davis is going to take some time to come along. And so I'm going to draft Eric Decker here. He's going to be Marcus Mariota's go-to receiver. He's on the downslope of his career, but he's going to be a factor all season long in Tennessee. So my next pick, round 11, 131st pick of the draft. My team is pretty set. I'm just looking for depth. I don't love any of the running backs. I'm going to go back to receiver, and Kenny Britt is the number one receiver in Cleveland, and he's still available in the 131st pick. One of my, if you can find a number one receiver on any team at pick 131, do it. And so I'm going to go with Kenny Britt. I'm stacking up receivers right now, but that's okay. My last couple picks can be a backup running back, a backup quarterback, just depending on who's available. The running backs that are here, Joe Williams in San Francisco, is he going to get an opportunity if Carlos Hyde gets hurt? Rex Burkhead in New England. Gillis Lee's a little beat up. So I don't love any of those guys. Let's look at quarterback. I need a backup quarterback. Phillip Rivers is going to be my backup quarterback. That team throws the ball around a ton. Keenan Allen's back, his favorite target. Hunter Henry is another year older. I think that that's going to be a really talented team this year, and so they're going to score a lot of points. I want to finish off with a running back, another bench running back. I'm going to go with Alvin Kamara, the third running back in New Orleans. Adrian Peterson likely won't make it 16 games, and I'd be surprised if Mark Ingram did. And so adding Alvin Kamara just gives me that piece at the end of my bench in case one of those guys goes down and he gets to play a big role in the team. So now it's my last two picks, 14th round. I'm going to draft the best defense available, which it's between the Minnesota Vikings, the Carolina Panthers, the New York Giants, or the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to go with Minnesota. They were a tough defense last year. They're only going to be better this year. And now the 15th round, second to last pick of the draft. I'm going to take a kicker. It doesn't matter. Kickers all score the same for the most part. When I'm looking at kickers, I like kickers in domes. I like kickers that kick in controlled weather type environments. Will Lutz in New Orleans, I'm going to take with this as my kicker. So just to recap, I know that I've gone over time. Casey will yell at me tomorrow for it. But just to, and then the great thing about Fantasy Pros is they give you a score at the end. They tell you how you did. My draft grade was a B, 86 out of 100. That's a good grade. I mean, I've done a lot of these drafts on Draft Pros, and it's hard to get better than an A-. But it's also hard to get less than like a C plus. And so that's your range. C plus to A minus is where you're going to be when you do these drafts. So let's just go over the team. My starting lineup is Dak Prescott, Jordan Howard, Ty Montgomery, Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Jack Doyle, Dalvin Cook, the Minnesota defense, and Will Lutz. The bench is Michael Crabtree, Paul Perkins, Eric Decker, Kenny Britt, Phillip Rivers, and Alvin Kamara. I like this team. I'd feel comfortable going into a 12-team league with this this group of guys. I think that it has enough depth. There's enough young guys that'll stay healthy enough to get you through a season. And I just like the makeup of this team. But that's the thing with fantasy football is it's a week-to-week game. Things change on the fly. And so if you're not reacting to those changes, if you're not on the waiver wire every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday trying to make your team better, it's tough to win a league. You can't win a league at the draft. You can sure lose it, though. And so I go into these drafts, have fun, play fantasy football. I think I'm going to be putting together a fantasy football league. I'll put it on Twitter just for Blazer fans and people around Portland that have read my work for them to join. So look for that. This has been another episode of Fireside Sports. My name is Garrett Thornton. Follow me on Twitter at Portland Garrett. Follow Casey at Fireside OSN. Like us on Facebook. Find Oregon Sports News on Facebook, Twitter, OregonSportsNews.com. We're all over the place. Casey will be back next week. We're getting dangerously close to the NFL season, and so I'm sure Casey will talk NFL. He'll talk if there's any more Blazer developments, any more Carmelo developments. I'm on the show quite regularly, and so look for me and Casey next week. We're really excited for the NFL season. I hope you are too. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. Stay safe with all the eclipse traffic that's going on in Portland. It's going to be a madhouse. It already is. I live in Sandy, and so Highway 26 is backed up for miles in the morning and evening, and it's a mess. But we're all going to get through it. It'll be a great event. But then it's just another day closer to football season. So signing off for the night, this is Garrett Thornton. Have a good evening.